Who does not see how great is the unlikeness there is here to the Word of God, which is so of the essence of God, that it was not before formable, and then formed, and could not at any time have been formless, but is a perfect image, equal in itself to him from whom it is? For which reason it is therefore called the Word of God, that it may not be called the thought of God, lest anyone say that there is something unresolved in God, which now may have and now receives a form, that it may be a word, and may lose it, and then, as it were, be again formlessly turned ever in the mind. The Word of God is a certain form, not itself formed, but the form of all forms, form unchangeable, without falling away, without defect, outside of time, without extension, surpassing all things, within all things, a foundation, as it were, on which all things rest, a summit beneath which all things are. Our Word has, exteriorly, a certain resemblance to the divine Word, for our Word brings forth the whole conception of our mind, for what we conceive in the mind we bring forth by a word. Our heart is, as it were, a fountain, the word that is uttered a stream flowing out from it. Consider also the spiritual wisdom of the evangelist. He knew that men honor and place above all things that which is before all and above all, God. From here he makes his beginning. In the beginning, he says, was the Word. Many things are signified by this word beginning. It is a commencement, as of a journey, or a period of time, for example, as the beginning of a good way is to do justice. It is also the beginning of a generation, as he is the beginning of the ways of God. And not incorrectly does anyone declare that God is the beginning of all things. Again, that from which, as from pre-existing matter, other things are made, is the beginning, in the opinion of those who believe that it is uncreated. There is also a beginning according to kind, as Christ is the beginning of all who are made in the image and likeness of God. There is also a beginning of discipline. As the Apostle says, you have need to be taught again what are the first elements of the words of God. Twofold is the beginning of proof, where it begins in reality, and where it begins for us, as if it were said that the beginning of wisdom, in its nature, is Christ, in that he is the wisdom and the Word of God. For us it began when the Word was made flesh. From the many meanings, O beginning, that occur to us, that can be taken in which beginning is a principle of action. Christ as Creator is a beginning, in that he is wisdom. So the Word was in the beginning, that is, in wisdom. Many properties are attributed to the Savior. As in the Word was life, so the Word was in the beginning, that is, in wisdom. Consider if it be not possible for us to take beginning according to this meaning, that all things are made according to wisdom, and according to the image in it, or that the Father is the beginning of the Son, and the beginning of creatures, and of every being. Through this, in the beginning was the Word, you may understand that the Son, the Word, was said to be in the beginning, that is, in the Father. In the beginning was said, as if were said, before all things. The Holy Spirit had foreseen that there would be certain men, jealous of the glory of the only begotten, who would put forth such subtleties for the undoing of their hearers, saying, if he was begotten, he was not, and before he was begotten, he was not. Lest they presume to utter such folly, the Holy Spirit says, in the beginning was the Word. The years were put aside, the centuries passed over, the ages rolled back. Place where you will that which is the beginning. You reach it not in time. He was there whence he was drawn forth. Why then does he lift us up to this height? It is as when a man stands on a ship close to the shore and sees cities and ports. Then someone brings him far out to sea and removes his gaze from the objects that held it before, yet imposes no limit to his view, rather gives him now a vision without limit. So the evangelist, lifting us above every created thing towards that which is beyond, leaves the eye as it were suspended, not limiting it to any point away above it, for indeed there is none. The mind seeks here this beginning, and finds it always was, and straining ever upwards, grows weary and turns back to lower things. For this, in the beginning, signifies but unending and infinite being. They, the Arians, dispute in this manner, if he is the Son of God, he was born. This we confess. They then go on, if the Son is born to the Father was before the Son was born to him. This faith spurns. Then they say, explain to me how the Son can be born of the Father, yet coeval with him of whom he was born. A son is born after his father and succeeds him at his death. This we find in men, in animals. They thus seek to transfer carnal ways of life to spiritual things. What must we do? We too must seek comparisons and examples for the truth we profess. But where is there an example like unto him? I cannot find in time similitudes that I can compare with eternity. Where can we find in creatures one that is co-eternal, when in no creature do we find anything that is eternal? If I find not a father that is co-eternal, it suffices if I find one that is coeval, that is one that is the same measure of time. If I can find two coevals, one begetting, the other begot, then we may understand the eternal generations. We read in sacred scripture that wisdom is called the brightness of eternal light. It is called the image of the Father. Here we have a similitude that may lead us to things that are coeval, and from which in turn to those that are co-eternal. Fire gives forth light. Light flows out from fire. No one doubts that the splendor derives from the fire, not the fire from the splendor. Let us consider the fire as the Father, whence proceeds this splendor. If there be no fire, there is no splendor. As soon as I shall light the fire, fire and light leap up together. Give me fire without light, and I shall believe the Father was without the Son. The Son is called the image of the Father. Here we have another similitude for things so widely differing. The image exists in the mirror of a man looking at himself in a mirror. As soon as he looks, the image is there. But he who looks was before the mirror. How then shall we make the comparison effective, as in the case of fire and light? Let us begin a little lower. You readily know in what manner water gives back the image of objects. Let us consider something born by the water, a young tree or grass. Is it not born together with its image? The tree and the image both begin together. If the shoot were always there, so also would be its image. That which arises from another is indeed born. There can therefore be that which forever begets, and that which is forever born of it. These pictures give a likeness, but in no way do they reflect the true reality. What are we to say if someone says, now I have grasped the eternal Father, I understand the co-eternal Son? Yet as the light gives forth is less than the fire, or as the image is less than the standing tree. But equality in all respects I do not believe, because you have not found a similitude. Perhaps from these two kinds of examples we may yet find in creatures a similitude whereby we may understand in what manner the Son is co-eternal with the Father, yet in no way less. But this we shall not find in one single similitude. Let us join them both, one from whence they give similitudes, the other from whence we have given them. They have given an example from things that are born in time, and which are preceded in time by those from whom they are born, as man from man. Yet both are of the same substance. What do we praise here? Equality of nature? What is wanting? Equality of time? Let us retain here the equality of nature. In the other kind of example, which we gave from the brightness of fire and from the image of the tree in water, you do not derive equality of nature, but you find coevity. What is wanting? Equality of nature. Join together the two that you praise. Must we not render to God that which you praise? Let all the works of God praise their Creator. I find in one coevity, I learn of coeternity from the other. In one I find equality of nature, in the other equality of substance. The totality is there, which here is found in each separate single thing. And it is wholly there, not as I find it in creatures, but as it is in their Creator. In one place, therefore, he is named Son of the Father. Elsewhere, he is called the Word. The divine scripture again calls him the brightness of eternal light. Each name speaking of the same person, from which you may learn that the things spoken against Christ are blasphemy. Because your Son is made from the same nature as yours, human speech, seeking to make plain the unicity of the substance of the Father and the Son, calls him the Son of the Father, who alone was begotten from him. Again, since with man, nativity and a son bespeak a nature subject to suffering, he is therefore called Son and Word, manifesting through his name the impassibility of his birth. But a man becoming a father is thereby revealed as older than his son. Lest you should think the same of him that is born of the divine essence, Scripture names him the only begotten brightness of the Father. Brightness is indeed born from the Son, yet it is not regarded as later in time than the Son. Brightness, therefore, speaks to you of the coeternity of the Son and the Father. Word shows forth the impassibility of his begetting. The name Son conveys to us his consubstantiality with the Father. What then do they say that the phrase, "In the beginning was the Word," does not completely imply eternity? From that same word was used of the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. But what has was in common with made? For the word is, when spoken of man, refers only to the present time, but spoken of God, it means eternity. So also, was, when used concerning our nature, signifies time past. Used regarding God, it speaks of eternity. The word I am has a twofold meaning. Sometimes it means bodily movements, according to its relation with other words. Sometimes the substance of any given thing of which it is predicated, without reference to movement. In this sense, it is called substantive. Look at the world. Read what is written of it. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. That therefore was made in the beginning, which was created, and which the ages contain, and which in the beginning was encompassed, that it might be made. An illiterate, untaught fisherman, unhampered by time, freed from the ages, soars above everything, every beginning. There was that which is, nor was it at any time contained, that it might begin, because in the beginning it was, rather than was made. Against those who say that because of his birth in time, Christ was not always, the evangelist begins with the eternity of the Word, saying, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Because it is the supreme attribute of God that He is eternal and without beginning, the evangelist places this first. Then, lest anyone hearing the words, "In the beginning was the Word," might say, "An unborn word," he immediately removes this possible doubt, saying, "And the Word was with God." For without beginning is He with the Father. He who is apart from time is not apart from His author. He says this because of those who blaspheme, saying that at one time He was not, where therefore was the Word. The unconfinable are not contained in place, but where was He? With God. Neither is the Father contained in place, nor the Son by any circumscription. It is fitting to note that Word is said to have been made to certain persons, as to Osi, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah. To God it was not made, as there was no being before Him. But from this, that He is inseparably in Him, as it said, "And the Word was with God," because not from the beginning was the Son separated from the Father. For the evangelist has not said, "The Word was in God," but "The Word was with God," showing us His co-eternity in His own person with the person of the Father. It seems to me that Sibelius has overthrown by these words, for he taught that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one person, which now appears as Father, now as Son, and again as the Holy Spirit. This is plainly confuted by the sentence, "And the Word was with God." For here the evangelist declares that the one is the Son, the other is God, that is, the Father. You will say a word is the sound of a voice, a proposal as to affairs, the expression of thought. This Word was in the beginning with God, because the expression of His thought is eternal, since He who is thinking is eternal. But how was that in the beginning, which is neither before time nor after time? Nor do I know that He can have existence in time. For the discourse of those who speak does not exist before they begin to speak, and when they have spoken, it will no more be. From the very fact that they speak, when they finish, there is then no longer where they began. But if you, listener, set aside the force of the first sentence of the unlettered evangelist, "In the beginning was the Word," what have you to say of the one that follows, "And the Word was with God"? Have you had speech with God that you have grasped the expression of His hidden thought? Or has John fallen into error as to the difference between to be in and to be with? That which was in the beginning is declared to be not in another, but with another. Await next the name and the dignity of the Word. For he says, "And the Word was God." The sound of a voice ceases, and the expression of thought. This Word is a being, not a sound. A nature, not an utterance. It is God, not emptiness. It is a simple naming, unconfused by any additional word. Consider other names given or assumed. To Moses it was said, "Behold, I have appointed thee the God of Pharaoh." But is not the reason of the name added when it says of Pharaoh? For Moses is given as God to Pharaoh while he is feared and entreated, while he was castigating, and while he was healing. It is one thing to be given as God, another to be God. Recall also another naming, when in the psalm it is said, "I have said, you are gods." But in this the significance is simply of a name bestowed. And where it is recorded, "I have said," we have here the speech of someone rather than the name of a being. But when I hear, "And the Word was God," I believe that the Word was not alone called God, but I understood that it is signified that He is God. And so, meeting the accusation of blasphemers and of those who question what is the Word, he replies, "And the Word was God." Or continue in another way. After the sentence, "And the Word was with God," it is manifest that there are two persons, though the one nature exists in both, whence it is said, "And the Word was God." Since the Godhead is one, so the one nature belongs to both Father and Son. We must also add that the Word which was made to the prophets illumined them with the light of wisdom. But the Word is with God, having from this the one Godhead. And so he places the words, "The Word was with God," before those that say, "And the Word was God." And not as Plato, saying that the Word was a kind of intellect, or the soul of the world. For these things are remote from the divine nature. But they, the Arians, say, the Father is called God with the addition of the definite article, the Son without it. What of it? The Apostle says, "The glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ," and again, "who is over all things, God blessed forever." But writing to the Romans, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father," without the addition of the article. It was superfluous here, since just above it was continually attached to the Word. Not therefore because the article is not added to the Son, is the Son less God. The same was in the beginning with God. I tremble in my speech because he has said, "And the Word was God," and the unheard of speech troubles me, since the prophets announced but one God. But lest my trepidation should increase, the fisherman gives me the plan of this so great mystery, and refers all things to the One, without irreverence, without diminution, without time, saying, "The same was in the beginning with God." He is declared to be with the one unbegotten God, from whom is the only begotten of the one God. And again, lest the diabolic notion should confound some, that since the Word is God, he has risen against the Father, as some of the fables of the Gentiles have it, and separated from the Father, is now opposed to him. He says the same was in the beginning with God, as if to say this Word of God never existed separate from the Father. Lest you may think that he is not eternal, when you hear, "In the beginning was the Word," and that the life of the Father is greater by a certain interval, he adds, "The same was in the beginning with God." For he was never separate from him, but was always God with God, yet each in his own person. Or again, because he said, "And the Word was God," that no one might be led to believe that the divinity of the Son was less, he immediately sets forth the things that proclaimed his deity, stating his eternity, when he says, "And the same was in the beginning with God," and adding what was done by him, saying, "All things were made by him." Or in another way, after the evangelist has stated the first three propositions, he repeats them again in one phrase, saying, "The same was in the beginning with God." In the first of the three, we learned when the Word was, that it was in the beginning. In the second, with whom it was, that it was with God. In the third, what was the Word, that it was God. As it were pointing out the Word already declared to be God, by calling him the same, and bringing together into a fourth proposition that which he had already declared, namely, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He says the same was in the beginning with God. Someone may ask, why did he not say, "In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word of God was with God, and the Word of God was God"? Whosoever confesses that truth is one, it is plain that its manifestation, which is wisdom, is also one. But if truth is one and wisdom is one, one also is the word that announces truth and explains wisdom in those things which are capable of receiving explanation. We state this not denying in any way that the word is of God, but showing the usefulness of the omission of the words of God. John himself writes in his Apocalypse, and his name is called the Word of God. What was the reason of employing the substantive word was? That you may understand that the Word, co-eternal with God the Father, preceded all time. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. All things were made by him. After he had spoken of the nature of the Son of God, he goes on to speak of his work, saying all things were made by him. That is, whatever is, either in its substance or in any property of the substance. Or differently, the Word was in the beginning. But could he not have been before the beginning? What was cannot be. But what says the evangelist? All things were made by him. He is infinite, by whom all things are made that are made. And since by him all things are made, by him therefore was time made. Moses, opening the writings of the Old Testament, speaks to us of visible things and tells us much concerning them. In the beginning, he says, God made heaven and earth. Then he caused that light be made, and the firmament, and the birth of the stars, and the varieties of the animals. But the evangelist, soaring above all these things, embraces all, as known already to his hearers, in one phrase, and presses on to a sublimer theme, in his whole book discoursing not of the created, but of the Creator. For since it is said that all things were made by him, then it is clearly shown that light also was made by him, since God said, "Let there be light," and similarly with regard to other things, which, if it be so, eternal is the saying of God, "Let there be light," because the Word of God. God with God is co-eternal with the Father, although it is a temporal creature that was made. Though words are of time, since we say when and sometimes, yet is it eternal in the Word of God that something is to be made, and it then shall be, when it was decreed that it shall be in the Word, in which there is no when and sometime, since the Word is wholly eternal. How therefore can it be that the Word of God was made, when God, by the Word, made all things? And if the Word was made, by what other word was it made? If you say this, that there is a word of the Word by which that other was made, the same I declare is the only Son of God. If you do not say it is the Word of God, then you must grant that the Word was not made by which all things were made. And if it was not made, it is no creature. If it is not a creature, it is of one substance with the Father. For every substance that is not God is a creature. What is not a creature is God. The Arians say that just as we say that a door is made by a saw, as by an instrument, so were all things made by the Son, that he is not himself the maker, but only the instrument. So they say the Son is a creation, made to this end, that by him all things might be made. To the inventors of this kind of falsehood, we simply say, if, as you say, the Father has created the Son, to the end that he might use him as an instrument, it would then seem that the Son is less honorable than the things that were made by him, as those things made by the saw are more precious than the tool that wrought them. For the saw is only for their making. So likewise, only because of the things that are made did God make the Son. What could be more foolish than such speech? But they say, wherefore did he not say that the Word made all things? Why, rather did he use the preposition by, lest you might think that the Son was unbegotten and without source, and arrival of God. But if the preposition by causes you concern, and you seek in Scripture that the Word itself made all things, hear David. In the beginning, O Lord, thou foundest the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. That he spoke here of the only begotten you may learn from the Apostle, using this saying concerning the Son in his epistle to the Hebrews. Thou in the beginning, O Lord, didst found the earth, and the works of thy hands are the heavens. If, however, you say that the prophet said this of the Father, which Paul applied to the Son, the conclusion is the same. For the Apostle would not have applied the term to the Son unless he profoundly believed them to be equal in dignity. If, again, it seems to you that a certain notion of inferiority is implied in the use of the preposition by, why does Paul use if of the Father? God is faithful, he says, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son. And again, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Valentius erred also in this, saying that the Word exists that it might serve the Creator as an instrument for the creation of the world. But if this were the truth as he understood it, then it should have been written that the universe was made by the Word through the Creator, not contrarily by the Creator through the Word. And without him was made nothing that was made. So that you may not believe when he says all things were made by him, that he speaks only of those things that were spoken of by Moses, he fittingly adds, and without him was made nothing that was made, either in the visible or invisible world. Or again, lest from this that he said, all things were made by him, you think that this was said only of the signs and wonders, concerning which the remaining evangelists have spoken, he adds, and without him was made nothing that was made. That which is here said, all things were made by him, has no limitation. There is the unbegotten who was made by no one. There is the begotten himself from the unbegotten. The evangelist acknowledged him as creator when he proclaimed him co-operator, saying, without him was made nothing that was made. Since nothing was made without him, I here understand that he was not alone. For it is one thing to say by whom, and another without whom. Another interpretation, lest you think that of the things which are, some were made by the Word, some pre-existed of themselves, and were not contained in the Word, he says, and without him was made nothing that was made, that is, nothing was made outside of him. He enfolds all things, preserving them. Saying that without him was made nothing, he in no way taught that the Word itself is to be considered as a creation. For how can it be said, he is a divine handiwork, if it is declared that without him, God made nothing? Or differently again, if by the Word all things were made, malice is included in the number of all things and the whole tide of sin, then these too were made by the Word, which is false. For as to their meaning, nothing and non-ends are one. The Apostle seems to call evil things non-beings. God calleth those things that are not as those that are. All depravity is called nothing, since without the Word was it made. Sin was not made by him, and this is evident, for sin is nothing. And when men sin, they make nothing. And the idol by the Word was not made. It has indeed a certain human form, and man was himself made by him. But the form of man in an idol was not made by the Word, for it is written, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Therefore, these were not made by the Word, but whatever was naturally made, the whole order of nature, and each single creature, from an angel to the smallest worm. Valentinus excluded from all that was made by the Word the things made in the present world, which he believed existed before the Word, speaking without proof. If indeed the works which by him are considered as divine are excluded from the all that was made, which in his opinion are corruptible, then that which he calls corruptible are all things. Some say falsely that the devil is not a creature of God. In that he is a devil, he is not God's creature. But he to whom it has come to pass that he is a devil is a creature of God. As if we were to say, a murderer is not a creature of God, who, as a man, is still God's creature. Nor must we heed the ravings of those who declare that in this sentence nothing is to be understood as something, because it is placed at the end of the sentence. They do not understand that it is a matter of indifference whether one says that without him was made nothing, or without him nothing was made. If we take the word for that logos or word that is in every man, placed in each one by the word that was in the beginning, here also, without this word we can do nothing, excepting simply what is called nothing. For the apostle says, "For without the law sin was dead, but when the commandment came, sin revived." For sin is not imputed where the law does not exist. Neither did sin exist where the word was not. For the Lord says, "If I had not come, they would not have sinned." Every pretext, therefore, is taken from him who wishes to defend himself from crime, since he has not obeyed the word, both present in him and showing him that which he should do. But not for this is the word to be blamed, as neither is the master to be blamed, because of whose diligence there remains no ground of excuse to the pupil for ignorance or idleness. All things, therefore, were made by the Word, not alone natural things, but all the things done by irrational creatures. Because the evangelist said that every creature was made by the Word, let none believe because of this that his will is mutable, as if he should now wish to make a creature which from eternity he could not before made. So he is solicitous to instruct us that the creature was indeed made in time, but that when and whom he would create was ordered from the beginning in the eternal wisdom of the Maker. Hence he says, "That was made, in him was life." It could be thus punctuated, "That was made in him," then let there be added, "was life." If we so declaim it, it means that all that was made was life. And what is there that was not made in him? For he is the wisdom of God, and it is said, "Thou hast made all things in wisdom." All things, therefore, as they were made by him, were made in him. If, therefore, what is made in him is life, therefore the earth is life, a stone is life. But it is improper so to interpret, lest the sect of the Manichees artfully intrude among us and say that a stone has life, and therefore having life it will bring forth. For they are wont in their ravings to say such things, and when they are checked and answered, they come forth with, as from the Scriptures, a phrase such as was said, "What was made in him was life." But declaim it thus, "That was made." Here put a comma, and then add, "In him was life." "The earth was made." But the earth that was made is not life. There was in the wisdom itself of God, spiritually, the plan from which the earth was made. This is life. As the execution in every work has not life, only the idea in the work lives, because it lives in the mind of the artist. Because therefore the divine wisdom, by which all things are made, contains all things in idea which are made according to the divine plan. These are not necessarily living, but whatever is made, there is life in it. It can also be punctuated in this manner and without error: that was made in him. Then let there be added, was life. In such manner that the meaning is, all things which by him and in him were made, in him have life, and are one. For they were, that is, they had existence in him as cause, before being actually fulfilled in themselves. But if you seek to find out how and in what form all things that were made by the Word subsist in him vitally, uniformly, and causally, you must seek examples from the order of nature. Note how the clauses of all the things that the sphere of this visible world contains dwell together in harmony in the sun, which is the supreme luminary of the world. How the multitude of all the herbs and fruits are contained together in their single seeds. How the multiple rules of any art are but one in the art of the artificer and have life in the mind that disposes of them. How an infinity of life becomes one at a given point. Consider these various natural examples by which, as on wings of natural reflection, we rise by the power of our mind to a clearer view of the hidden things of the Word, and as far as it is given to human intelligence, discern how all things that were made by the Word were made in him and in him live. Or differently, let us not, as the heretics, place a full stop where it is said, without him was made nothing. They, wishing to say that the Holy Spirit was created, say what was made in him was life. But read in this way, it is unintelligible. In the first place, it was not the time to speak here of the Holy Spirit. But if it were said of the Holy Spirit, then let us read it for a moment in their way, and for in that way its incongruity will be evident to us. When you read what was made in him was life, the Holy Spirit, they say, is here called life. But this life is also called light, for he adds, and the life was the light of men. Therefore, according to them, the evangelist calls the Holy Spirit the light of men. That which he previously calls Word, he here successively calls God, and life, and light. But the Word was made flesh. It must then be the Spirit that was made flesh, not the Son. Let us then, rejecting this manner of reading, come to the proper reading and exposition. It is this: when we read, all things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. Here pause, then begin from the sentence which opens, in him was life. What he says is this: without him was made nothing that was made, that is, of the things that are makeable. Note how, by this brief final phrase, he has resolved all discordances. For by the first writing, without him was made nothing, and adding, that was made, he includes all things knowable by the mind, but excludes the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is not of the things that are makeable.